If you're listening to this podcast, it means you're ready to break free from your restaurant running your life. You're tired of working so hard for so little. It's time you get the restaurant you desire and deserve. To do that, you'll have to learn how to make more while working less in your restaurant. So how do you do that? It starts when you book a complimentary success strategy session with the Restaurant Coach. That's right, a completely free one-on-one session with Donald Burns, the Restaurant Coach. This is a $500 value that he is giving to listeners of this podcast. During your session, Donald is going to help you get crystal clear about where your restaurant is now and where you want to be in the next 90 days. He'll even give you a three-step plan to get started. You just need to take action. Just go to therestaurantcoach.com to book your success strategy session now.
Loading in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It's the cure for the common restaurant. Expert interviews, tools, and tips to get you the restaurant you know it can be. Now, here is your host, Donald Burns, the Restaurant Coach.
And welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. I mean, seriously, who wants to be common? Might as well just lay down on the ground and throw some dirt over you and give in to mediocrity. But I know if you're here listening to this podcast, you are not the kind of person that wants to accept average. Now, do you want to break free? Do you want to have it all? And if you are committed to doing that, then I am here to deliver it to you. Today, I want to take you on a little behind the scenes of one of my live calls with my group called Restaurant Masterminds. Now, I have quite a few different coaching programs available, really depending on what your goals are and kind of what's going on in your restaurant. Now, Restaurant Masterminds is a group accountability coaching program where we meet every week on Zoom twice a week. Yes, two calls each week. Every Monday is an educational session where we talk about a framework, a theory, give you some tools. And then every Thursday is a Q&A call where you can ask questions, get answers to things about your restaurant and where you're stuck at. Today's podcast episode lets you sit in the room with us as we talk about the six critical systems you must have if you want your restaurant to thrive and not just survive in this crazy restaurant game. So let's jump into the mastermind session. Well, welcome to the Monday mastermind call. Every Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, mastermind group gets together to talk about something educational, usually high level, usually some kind of frame, a tool, something that's going to help you break free from where you are to get to where you want to go. And of course, as you know, I will tell you, make sure you have a piece of paper and a pen. Research has shown if you write stuff down in your own handwriting, you are 70% more likely to remember the information 30 days from now. And that is always a benefit. As always, we follow what's known as the Restaurant Coach Method. Restaurant Coach Method is always people, product, process. People part, it's always assessments, core values, hiring. And the product part, it's always food cost, menu, and marketing. And then the process part is finally systems, strategy, and profitability. That always follows what we know as the 3P framework. It is always people, product, process. I will tell you, it is people, product, process. You will try to change it around. And then you will realize it doesn't work until you do it the way I tell you. So then you'll finally go, aha, now it all makes sense. Yes, it is always people, product, process. 80% of your problems are in the people part. Usually it has to do with your mindset, your team's mindset, your leadership mindset, your leader's mindset, and then the culture. That is usually where most of the problems are. Once you kind of realize that and get through it, it is an excellent tool to helping you break free. I had a call this morning with someone on the Accelerator program, and they were talking about, and now they run franchises. They have some franchises. And they were basically talking about one of their franchisees was really, really stuck about paying like really, really like just above minimum wage. And that goes back to mindset. Remember, if you think that people aren't worth more money, you're not going to pay them more money, and then you're not going to get better talent. So you have to break free from some of those things that are holding you back. And the always thing you want to remember is like, is it me? Am I the one holding myself back? Mindset, culture, two biggest obstacles that hold people back from maximizing your potential. I can give you all the tools in this whole roadmap, everything in the people part you need, everything in the product part you need, everything in the process you need. And if it's not implemented and not functioning on all cylinders, it's normally, I would say 9 times out of 10, it's usually in the mindset and the culture piece. And of course, in the mastermind group, you always have a set of tools. Your toolkit is the most valuable thing you have, but tools are just potential. You have to pick up the tool and use them for them to be effective. I will give you all kinds of tools. In fact, I'll give you probably more tools than you need My job as your coach is to give you a lot of different options. You have to decide which tool really works for you, your brand, and your culture. And then you have to make a commitment to using that tool consistently to get the results you want. I will give you tons of different options. I'll give you tons of different tools. I'll give you lots of different frameworks. Not every framework is going to work for your restaurant. Your job as the owner is to figure out which one is going to work in kind of synergy, work with my brand, and help me maximize my potential. All right, let's get dig into the meat and potatoes today. A big mistake restaurants make is not having all the critical systems that they must have. So today, this whole workshop is all about the 6 mission critical systems that you must have to maximize your restaurant's potential. These 6 mission critical. Now you probably, I bet you Stephanie can guess all 6, but most people probably, if I say all 6, probably most people don't know what all 6 are. You probably know 4 of the 6, but we're going to go over it today. So don't worry. I'm going to cover it all, but the 6 mission critical systems you must have, and I'm going to throw in there also must have and also must use to maximize your restaurant's potential. Hashtag write this down. Your systems are a reflection of your habits. If your systems and habits are in alignment, then you're running pretty smooth. If your systems and your habits, like you seem like your restaurant's running a little rough, it's usually a reflection of your habits, which is a reflection of your systems. You got to make sure that they are in alignment. Your restaurant, for all it's worth, is purely just a reflection of your habits. Your systems are a part of that. Your culture is a part of that. Habits make and break restaurants. A lot of times people go into a coaching program thinking they're just going to get systems and tools and processes to make more money, to drive more marketing and stuff like that. Those things are pretty easy, actually. It's the habit formation, or probably the new habit formation, which is the most critical thing, because habits do not want to go gentle and quietly into the good night, especially those bad habits you have. It takes a lot of effort, energy, patience, and due diligence to keep pushing forward to get that that bad habit to turn into a better habit. So let's go right into it. The 6 mission critical systems you must have and use. Let's see how many you got. All right. Number 1, of course, the core value mission card. Number 2, an integrated training system. We'll talk about that in more detail. Number 3, food costing. Number 4, a marketing calendar. Number 5, a weekly budget and P&L. And then 6, there's like a dozen KPIs. I'm going to tell you the 6 critical KPIs that you must measure and manage. And I'm going to tell you on a daily basis, if possible. All right. Again, our goal is to move this stuff from, like, if you're looking at any of these habits and you're looking at some of these systems, and if you're doing them on a monthly or a bi-monthly or a quarterly basis, we want to start moving up our frequency to start looking at this stuff on a weekly basis and some stuff on a daily basis. So when you're looking at these systems, I want you to start thinking about, how am I using this stuff on a daily basis? And the first one, of course, that core value card. That core value card should be used every single day, every interaction you have with your team. It is not just a fun, fancy thing that you print out, or a poster that you put up on the wall in the kitchen, and then you mark it off on your checklist, like core values, done. Does not work like that. Your core value card is everything. It is so critical to that 3P framework. Because remember, we talk about the 3P framework. What's the first part of the 3P framework and the people part? It is mindset and culture. This core value card is mission critical in the sense that you have to use it. Not occasionally, when you remember to use it, every time you have a conversation with anyone on your team, that core value mission card should just be between you and them. But when you're talking to your leadership team, same thing. You have to set the example and show people that this core value card is really, really mission critical to our success. And when you talk to your leadership team, that core value card better be between you and that leader. And then when your leaders talk to someone on their team, they should have that core value mission card between them and the team member. Culture flows down, doesn't flow up. You want to be the example, and you want to show people that I'm really, really committed to using this even when I talk to you. And just if it's just a casual conversation, you're just sitting there just talking about, it doesn't have to do with anything about the core values. That core value mission card has to become a tool that is just like glued to your hip. Like you want to have a bunch of them printed out, laminated, so you could always easily just grab one. Oh, let me grab a core value card real quick. And then sit down, have that thing. I can tell you with 100% certainty that a core value mission card will, not saying might, I will tell you it will change your culture. And anybody who's implemented this thing 100% and used it religiously, you will see that it really does change your culture. And that is the first step to getting the restaurant and life you want. You will never, ever get to that level. We talk about different four levels of culture. There's toxic, there's training, there's learning, there's leadership. You can never get to a leadership culture, which is an accountability culture, without having this mission core value card as a part of that culture, right? It is probably one of the most overlooked aspects of running a successful restaurant. And I've heard people say it all the time. Hey, but Donald, you know, I got really great food. I got a killer location. I got an awesome team. Why do I need to use this mission core value card? Bear with me, because I promise you're going to not only understand the importance even more, but you're going to be itching to create one and use it in your restaurant every single day, every time you have a conversation. I cannot emphasize that enough. This thing really does make and break restaurants. And that's why it's the first one up on the six critical systems that you must have and use, because it is that important. Just like the domino effect, this one sets up everything else to be successful. If you're not using the mission core value card, the other five systems I'm going to talk about won't matter. I'm just telling you right now, it won't matter. So let's go back over, in case you don't have enough good reasons why a core value mission card is important. Let's talk about it. Number one, it defines your brand. It really, really sets the tone of who you are. Your core value missions define everything, determines the vibe of your restaurant. Remember, your vibe attracts your tribe. Your vibe attracts your guest. Your vibe attracts everything, okay? Without a solid foundation of core values, you're just building on shifting sands. Number two, it does create consistency. Remember, when you have your core values spelled out, it actually provides a roadmap. I call it your ethical compass. That's the biggest thing I can tell you, is that my core value card is like the compass for my team. Most restaurant owners always feel like their restaurant runs them. They don't have any options. They always feel I have to be there. I have to tell my team what to do all the time. And you hear this from leaders all the time, is I feel like I'm a glorified babysitter. Well, if you ever feel like you're a glorified babysitter, I'll tell you right now, it's because your team is not committed and bought into using the core value mission card. And that core value mission card, again, is their ethical compass. Anytime I have something I'm just kind of wondering about, or I need to make a decision, that core value card is actually the best thing in the world for me, because it helps me make it a better decision. Like, am I in alignment with my core values? If it's a no, the deal is a no. All right. Number three, it does attract like-minded employees. All right. Let's face it. Let's be real. Not everyone will be a good fit for your restaurant, and that's okay, right? But by having a clear mission and core values, you really will attract and resonate with those people. And that goes back to the interview process. Talked about the perfect interview last week, talking about core values, asking them about their core values. Make sure that they are in alignment with your core values. Mm-hmm. People that are in alignment with your core values, I'll tell you right now, they tend to be more loyal, they're more passionate, and they're a lot more effective in their roles. Number four, we talked about this already. It does become a guide in decision-making. Decisions have to be made on the fly. If you're not around, if your team can say with 100% honesty, is like, and the decision I'm making in alignment with our core values, does it come from the heart? Is it acting in the essence and spirit of hospitality, being a host? If they can say yes, they can't make a bad decision. That's what you want. All right. I always tell them, if I'm not around, if you need to make a decision, just look at our core value card. Is it in alignment with our core values? If it is, and it comes from the heart, it's a good decision. Number five, it does set you apart from the competition. One of the things I hear a lot of people saying when they start implementing this core value mission card and they actually start using an interview process, a lot of people that interview say, wow, you're the first restaurant that ever really talked about their core values. It's a huge thing, because most restaurants don't talk about their core values. Okay. You want to make sure that you're standing out from the competition. It's one of those things I always say, you want to be outstanding. You want to stand out from the competition so you have no competition. Number six, it does maintain accountability. All right. Remember, if a team member is not living up to the core values, it's a lot easier to address, because it's not a personal thing. It's that they're not upholding the standards and the core values that we have. Right. A lot of times, remember, we talk about having things that they agree to. That's having a solid job description and having them sign the job description when they get hired. Okay. I think the core value card is one of the most important things you can have. And that's why I set it up as the number one critical system you must have. Right. So whether you're just starting out, or maybe you've been in the game for a long time, take a step back and think about your mission and core values. And if you already have that mission core value card, ask yourself the honest question, am I using it to the capacity I could be or I should be? Am I using it every time I have an interaction with anyone on my team? If you're honest with yourself, you probably know you got a little bit of room for improvement. And that's good, because awareness precedes choice, choice precedes change. Remember, your core value mission card isn't just a piece of paper. It is the soul of your restaurant. Right? Don't leave success to chance. Remember, all culture is either one thing. It's either one or the other. It's either created by design or by default. 90% of restaurants have a culture of default. The culture created itself. The team created the culture. If you ever want to have a chance to have your restaurant run all cylinders, highly profitable, highly effective, raving reviews, and give your life back, you have to be really, really serious about implementing and cultivating a culture that is going to support your dreams and support your mission and your goals, right? That is critical system number one, core value mission card. Remember, not only have it, got to use it. Number two, and this is where some people kind of have the Swiss cheese effect. They have some holes in this one, an integrated training system. Without this, you spend a lot of time training and sadly retraining. And that is probably the biggest waste of time. You want to talk about the most valuable resource you have is time. Think about all the stuff that you've had to retrain people on because you did not train them the first time effectively and thoroughly. You train them until they got it right. You didn't train them until they could not get it wrong. And now you have to go back and retrain. And then you have to go back and retrain. Then you have to go back and retrain. Think about if you look back over the years of the stuff you had to retrain people on, you would see that you've wasted thousands of hours. Right, which you could easily have been done if you set up the system that we call the 70-20-10 methodology. And it's actually really based on adult learning theory. Okay. So if you're not bought into why you need an integrated training system, let's dig into what the 70-20-10 methodology is and kind of back it up again. 70% is what we call on-the-job training. That's hands-on, that's shadowing. That's the old school thing we've all done. Most restaurants have this down effectively. But if you only have this part of your training program, you only have a 70% effective training program. That's why you keep going back and retraining, right? There's nothing like being immersed in the real environment, nothing like shadowing a team member, letting them work with someone side by side. It actually allows them to adapt to real challenges because, you know, restaurants are unpredictable. Shadowing trainees can actually experience the spontaneity, of the job. They can handle kind of like the things that pop up, like a frustrated guest, things like that, rush. System outages, what happens when the POS printer goes down, what happens when this and this goes out. It's also the 70% is what we call contextual learning, because being present in the actual environment where it takes place, they understand the context, nuance, and subtleties that can't be replicated on a classroom or an online setting. That's why showing up for these live calls is really, really critical, because you get contextual learning. You can actually, when you're listening to me, you're actually taking notes and you're processing it in the information that resonates and makes sense with you and your restaurant. That's why these live calls are so great. Now you can listen to the replay, but it's nothing like being in the moment where you're really 100% focused and you're just listening. Oh yeah, I can really do that. I could actually apply to this. So the 70% is important. Most restaurants, I would say almost every restaurant has a 70% down. Where do they miss? Where's the Swiss cheese effect? The holes they have, the 20%. Which is what we call peer feedback and coaching. You got to sit down with a trainee at the end of their shift and you got to give them constructive feedback. After they've had the hands-on experience, I want to just ingrain it deeper into them. And this is where we have feedback. This is where I have them have a journal. I'm a huge believer in getting everyone on your team a notebook or a journal and have them have it with them, especially when they're training, and write stuff down. It doesn't have to be a big one like this. It could be like a little moleskin or whatever, but you got to have a notebook where they can actually write stuff down, okay? Another thing about coaching is it creates what we call as role modeling. Coaching from a peer actually sets them up to be like an inspiration to that. Trainees like or more likely to mirror the positive behavior and techniques of someone they look up to on the team. That's why it's important to really pick out who you want to be the trainers on your team. Not everyone is a good trainer. And you want to be really, really picky and you really be selective about who trains who in the team, because I need someone who's always can manage their energy, manage their state, has that patience I need, and can explain things in a way that makes sense to them. Okay. But also that 20% feedback creates bonding and trust. Feedback and coaching sessions aren't just about skill transfer. They foster trust, a sense of belonging, and they really do help in team building, which are essential components of a cohesive restaurant team. Remember, without trust, you don't have a team. You got a bunch of mercenaries. And if you're the one lacking trust on your team, remember what we always say, hashtag train the trust. Train them until you do trust them. And then that 10% is that online video and resources. I love having an online dashboard, either Google Classroom. You can use, there's like quite a few apps out there right now. Like there's Opus, there's MyBytes. There's a lot of apps coming out that actually have hands-on that you can turn your training into mobile videos, but you should have some kind of online video and resources. This is where I would say 99% of restaurants fail. They have maybe the 70% down. They probably do a good job on the 20%. They could probably improve that, but most are missing the opportunity to really, really have that, that 10% just kind of finisher. What online video does, it really reinforces key concepts because people like a consistent message. It demonstrates standards and it's easy for your team to watch it. Another big, huge advantage of online videos is it's very flexible. The team can review them as many times or as much as they need to. And one of the biggest problems most people have is no one wants to be embarrassed. No one doesn't want to seem like they're slow or they don't get it. But if you give them online access to a video, they can go and watch it as many times as they want. Trust me, I belong to mastermind groups with online stuff like online coaching or online marketing. And sometimes they have some really technical stuff about apps or code and writing stuff. I'm not really fast at that. Sometimes it takes me 3 or 4 times watching the video, slowing it down, watching it, stopping, pausing, rewinding, watching, stopping. It takes me a while, but after I've got that down, I can actually apply it to what I'm doing. So there's a lot of new stuff out there I'm working on, like, a lot of times with apps and bots and things like that. Takes me a while to learn that stuff. It's not natural for me, but I can learn if I have the online resources and online videos. I can just basically pause it, process it, rewind it, pause it, process, and then actually apply it. So having this stuff is really, really cool. And the biggest thing is it does build that training culture. Remember, we want to go from toxic to training, training to learning, learning to up to that next level. So we want to bypass that training culture. Actually, I should say learning culture. Bum, bum, bum. Builds a learning culture. Okay. Got to build that learning culture. All right. Consistent access to training videos sends a clear message. Continuous learning is valued. And a part of the restaurant's culture. Continuous learning is valued. Remember, we have that 1% mindset. You could call it Kaizen, constant never-ending improvement. A lot of people just like the 1% mindset. We want to be 1% better today than we were yesterday. It's not just about onboarding. That's what training culture is. I'm just training on the onboarding part. It's about ongoing growth and development. All right. Biggest thing you remember is that incorporating that 70-20-10 methodology is going to actually kind of creates a holistic approach. A lot of times you hear about fitness, you talk about holistic health. Holistic health is not just, I'm just not watching what I eat. I'm just not watching what I do for exercise. I'm watching my sleep. I'm watching my mindset. I'm watching my supplementation, my nutrients I'm getting. That's a holistic approach where it's basically a whole approach is what you want. Your training program needs to be a holistic approach. Shadowing again makes the learning tangible. Peer feedback ensures it's rooted in the real world experience and offers a platform. And then those online videos create a solid, unchanging foundation to return to, enforcing the importance of continuous learning and adaptation. That is number two. Number three in your critical systems, of course, is your food cost. It's time to talk about one of those topics near and dear to my heart. Food cost. It is the lifeblood of your restaurant's profitability. And if you're not paying close attention to it, it can very easily drain your profits away. Basically, I would say, if you're not watching your cost, it will come back and bite you in the ass. Another thing you hear me say often is, if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. In fact, you don't have a business. What you have is a hobby, a very, very expensive hobby. And a lot of you are very, very tired of that hobby not paying the money that you want it to pay, right? So why is food costing important? Number one, knowledge is power. And why should you know your food costs on a weekly basis? Well, the industry is really, really dynamic and it changes a lot. If you haven't noticed, prices fluctuate often very fast. Supplier availability changes. Menu items can be one week not really popular, next week really, really popular. So if you're only checking your food costs on a monthly or, heaven forbid, less frequently, you're basically flying blind. Keeping tabs on a weekly basis, you're always in the loop. And the best way to do this is make sure you're getting a food costing software that can import your invoices and keep you up to date all the time on what your food cost is in the real world. Weekly checks, adjusting your menu, negotiations with suppliers. These are the things that you want to be on top with. Knowledge is power. I would add to that, applied knowledge is real power. I mean, a lot of people know the numbers, but they don't do anything about bad numbers. So applied knowledge is the real power. Number two, of course, let's talk about that little sneaky things, the 40 thieves of food cost. I think this is like the number one. If I had to like pick out one tool that could help me identify my food cost problems, I download that 40 thieves of food cost, check that kind of worksheet at PDF, and I go through each one line by line by line. And I usually do this on a quarterly basis, just making sure we're not missing anything. Now you might like, again, one of those things like onboarding or training. Oh, I trained them. I onboarded them. I trained them. Check. Done. Don't worry again. Oh, core value mission card. Check. I got one, but I don't use it. No, take that check off. Same thing with 40 Thieves of Food Cost. You go through it one time and you think, I did the exercise, Donald. I did my 40 Thieves of Food Cost. But if you're not revisiting it every once in a while and keeping your team up to date, it's just like out of sight, out of mind. They forget these little things. I will tell you, every time I've used this 40 Thieves of Food Cost, even when I was a chef, I could go back over this 40 Thieves of Food Cost. Oh, shit. That's right. I am not using it. I'm not doing that. Damn, I need to start doing that again. You know what to do, but here's the question. Do you do what you know? I mean, if you're honest with yourself, you know that there's things I know I should do. I just don't do them consistently. Consistently is the key. You got to be consistent about this stuff. All right. Oh, the 40 thieves. I'll tell you, waste, theft, lack of training, inaccurate recipes. The list goes on and on. In fact, you have a copy in your toolkit of the 40 thieves of food cost. Again, pull this thing out, go through it line by line by line, and make sure you are utilizing all the elements on this 40 thieves of food cost, that you do not have any thieves running around your restaurant. Why else do you need to know your food cost? Because it will actually maximize your profits, honestly. And here's the thing, it's not just about cutting cost for the sake of saving money. Here's another thing I'll tell you, hashtag write this down. You can't save your way to profitability. It helps. You want to keep an eye on the bottom line. We have, remember that rule about top line, bottom line management, 80% of our focus on top line, 20% on bottom line. I mean, you want to be conscientious of the bottom line. I don't want to ignore it, but I don't want to put all my energy and effort into focus on the bottom line, or else I'm not building the top line. When you control your food cost, you ensure every dish not only meets your quality standards, but it's also priced appropriately for your clientele. That is a win-win situation. Remember, the goal is for them to receive, your guests to receive an excellent value for their money, because that's going to make them come back more and more again. All right. And please do not wait for a month, you know, end of the month, review your numbers or your, especially your food cost. It's the most horrible thing you can do is to wait until the very last minute to review your food cost. You want to make sure you're up on top of all your food costing on a weekly basis, not a monthly basis, a weekly basis. Make it part of your weekly routine. And once you get a good routine on it, you can easily do it in 30 minutes. It doesn't take hours to update or look over your food costing if you got a food costing program. If you're using like Extra Chef, Get Me's, Get Filet, Margins Edge, there's a dozen different programs out there that we've talked about. You just got to pick one that you like and actually use it. Make it a part of your weekly routine. Deep dive, understand nuances, and look at those 40 thieves. Remember, proactive approach is always better than a reactive one. If you've ever felt out of control, you ever felt like, you know, your restaurant's running you, you are being more reactive than proactive. How do you get that to change? Is by taking control of your calendar and scheduling stuff to review it. You want to address the problems before they become problems. And the only way to do that is have a weekly review system in-house where you know, like on Monday, I'm looking at this numbers. Tuesdays, I'm looking at this numbers. Wednesday, I'm looking at these numbers. Every day, you should be looking at some critical key elements of your profitability every day for at least 30 minutes. Okay. Weekly tracking will elevate your restaurant to its highest potential. That is number three. Right. So first one, we talked about the six critical ones. First one was, of course, your core value mission card. Number two, having an integrated training system. Number three, knowing your food cost. What do you think number four is? Your marketing calendar. Number four on the critical systems you need, you must have, if you want to maximize your potential, is you must have a marketing calendar. So let's talk about why it is absolutely essential for your restaurant or for any business to have a monthly marketing calendar, especially one that strategically taps into the 13 different emotions of marketing. You've all had the training. If you're in the mastermind group, you have the Restaurant Marketing Power Playbook. If you're in the Accelerator program, you have the Restaurant Marketing Machine. You have the 13 emotions of marketing. I will tell you now, the majority of people only use a few emotions. They maybe use three, maybe four, maybe five. You want to tap into at least 10. Why do we need to have this marketing calendar? Well, number one, consistency. You got to have consistency with your marketing. We live in a world of endless distractions. You want to make sure your brand message doesn't get lost in the shuffle. You want to plan a month ahead. Remember, if you come to the Restaurant Success Summit, I'm going to actually give you a huge calendar. It's a 4 foot. I think it's a 4 foot by 4 foot huge calendar. It's they're a pain in the butt for me to get printed, but my printer does them. And you're going to have this yearly calendar that you're going to be able to fill out. It is amazing. And the beautiful thing about that is once you have that yearly calendar set up, now you just break it down from yearly to monthly to weekly to daily. And then you've got things rolling in the right direction. Same thing like you're doing any kind of strategic planning. I do my yearly plan, my quarterly plan, my monthly plan, my weekly plan, my daily plan, same stuff. But consistency is the key. Number two, remember, people buy emotions, not products. Right? People don't come to your restaurant. I know you think they just come to your restaurant just for the food. They don't come to your restaurant just for the food. I know you think they do. All right. They come for the experience. They come for how you make them feel. Right? When your marketing triggers one or more of the 13 emotions, remember, you're not selling an emotion. You're not selling a product. You're selling a feeling. And that's really critical to understand. Feelings are powerful motivators for decision-making. Most of us, and this is a common thing, it's a psychological principle, we buy for emotional reasons and we justify with logic. Right? Anything you've ever purchased, you probably bought it for an emotional reason and you justified it with logic. Right? Marketing calendars are critical to your success. They also put what we call as predictability in operations. Having a plan in place not only aids in successful marketing, but it also gives your operations a roadmap. It gives your sales a steady influence. There's a thing about marketing. We call it the marketing roller coaster. A marketing roller coaster is this. without consistent marketing, if your restaurant feels like really, really high and lows as far as sales, like you have a great week, then you have a dead week, you have a great week, then a dead week, it's because your marketing is not consistent. Because marketing follows and sales follow marketing. Remember, and hashtag write this down, money follows attention. It truly does. Money follows attention. And the other thing you'll hear me say a lot with marketing is that best known beats best. We can all agree McDonald's is not the best burger in the world, but what do they do more than anything else? They market that thing consistently. So that golden arches stay in front of your face all the time. It's predictability. Marketing, when I say on your 515, my sales have been bad sales week, Updale sales week, there is always plenty of market in your area. And you can easily go back to that thing and saying that, oh, it's just an off week, just slow. I called around and everyone else is slow. Well, you're not everyone else. You're unique. You are outstanding. You're not average. Just because another restaurant's having an off week does not mean that you have to, accept that. I hate when I have off weeks. I understand that if I'm having an off week, I'm just not marketing enough to keep my brand top of mind. It does. When you market effectively to it also maximizes your ROI. Got to make sure you're maximizing your ROI. You want to turn the marketing efforts into actual sales. And the best way to do that is hit different emotions of marketing. Also fosters creativity. Having a calendar allows you to brainstorm and think outside the box, right? It also allows you to stay ahead of competition because I'll tell you right now, most restaurants are reactive, not proactive, and most market sporadically. And they're never, ever consistent. I would say the majority of restaurants, 90% of restaurants out there are very, very sporadic. They don't have a plan. They don't have consistency in their posting. It is very, very sporadic, okay? But if you have a calendar, you're always one step ahead. And that ensures you fill those seats up ever before they get empty. Number seven, having a marketing calendar also helps you with time management. A lot of times I'll hear people say, I just don't have time to market. You have time to market. You just have to have a plan and schedule stuff. And you have tons of tools out there. You have there's tons of social media management tools, Social Pilot, Meet Edgar, Buffer, Hootsuite. All these things can help you manage your social media a lot more easily and effortlessly for you. And accountability. Remember, a calendar is not just a plan, it's a commitment. When you put things on paper, you're making a pact that you're going to get these things done. Accountability is a number one thing that separates the outstanding restaurants from the mediocre restaurants. Accountability drives follow through. Okay. And of course, having a marketing calendar, I can always analyze and adjust. When I have a planned calendar, I can review it and analyze, hey, what's working, what's not working, make adjustments. Not everything you throw out there on social media is going to work. And that's okay. That's what it's all about. It's about learning. And some things you put out now that might be really popular or might hit really well might change in 6 months because the markets are very fickle and they change, right? I remember a few years ago, Instagram was all about photos, and then they made this huge push to just reels. And if you weren't putting out reels, you didn't get anything. And now they're going back to more static posts again. So it changes all the time. You just got to be able to go with it and flow and see what's happening. Even social media channels change. 6 months ago, you didn't have threads. Now we got threads. Threads took off like a wildfire. And now they've already, and Zuckerberg even said he's already noticed a kind of a really, really rapid decrease in usage on threads. But he was smart. He tied his Instagram with his threads and told people, if you delete your threads account, I'm going to automatically delete your Instagram account. So that was a gangster move by Zuckerberg. But hey, it also does build brand loyalty. Emotionally connected guests are more valuable. Write that down. Emotionally connected guests are more valuable. They have buy-in. They visit more, they spend more, and they actually become brand ambassadors, what we call raving fans. Tapping into emotions consistently strengthens that bond every month. If you've never seen in the marketing, in your marketing modules, there is one in there about the marketing calendar. It looks like this. Basically, 13 different emotions of marketing. You pick 10, and then you create 10 posts for each emotion. Super, super easy. After you have those 10, then you plot them out on the backside of, on the second tab of that marketing calendar, and you start making your list of your posts. If you do 10 emotions, 10 pieces of content, each emotion, 10 times 10 is 100 pieces of content. Trust me, that's a lot of content for a marketing campaign. And I would say 80 to 90% of it is what we call evergreen, in the sense that you can use it over and over again. The only thing that wouldn't be usable is like if you do a special event, like it's like St. Patrick's Day or something coming up and it's a special one-off, but you could use those things next year. You just can't run them month after month because they're what we call one-offs or limited time offers too. All right. Remember, it's not enough just to market. You need to market with intent and emotion. Hashtag write that down. It's not enough just to market. You need to market with intent and emotion. Having a monthly marketing calendar that harnesses the power of the 13 emotions of marketing, you are going to set your restaurant up for massive success because you can connect with your audience on a lot deeper level. And that's going to drive them to be connected to your brand. Remember, people don't buy what you do. They buy why you do it. Remember, in this business, it's not about the competition. It's always about becoming the best version of your restaurant. Plan with emotion, execute with passion, and you will reap the rewards. But you got to use that calendar and you got to follow it. I know a lot of people have a marketing calendar. And then when I look at their social media, and I've seen their marketing calendars, and then when I go look at their social media, they're not following the calendar, right? So that is number four of the six critical systems you must have. Number five, you must have a weekly budget and P&L, right? Every successful restaurateur knows that staying on top of their finances is paramount. You gotta have a weekly budget, just like a recipe. I want you to think of your weekly budget as a recipe for financial success. Just as a dish would fail without the right ingredients in the correct proportions, so would a restaurant too without a keen eye on its weekly finances. And I'm really shocked how many people don't look at their finances on a weekly basis. Most restaurants get a P&L once a month, usually 2 weeks after the first of the month, from their accountant or their bookkeeper. That is a horrible way to run your restaurant. You want to start amplifying that to start getting it a lot faster. Because what happens when you get faster numbers? You, number one, you can adapt to the market a lot faster than your competition can, right? Special events, seasons, promotion, local events, they all impact your earning expenses. A weekly budget helps you adapt and pivot quickly. The number one advantage all independent restaurants have over a big, huge chain, adaptability. That's the number one thing you have in your arsenal that you can do faster than anybody else out in the market. You don't need to like go up the corporate ladder, have an idea, go through corporate, have them have their people look at it, have them go through five or six different boards to approve it, and then trickle down to actually being implemented. As a small restaurant group or owner, you can make changes pretty freaking fast, and that's your advantage. You want to make sure you're taking advantage of that. Number two thing about having a really, really weak, strong weekly budget, holds your team accountable. They have to know what they can spend. Most people spend more than they know because they don't know what their budget is. And if you've ever done this before, when you were young and kind of, foolhardy and didn't really manage your budgets, you kind of spent probably a little bit more than you probably should have. This is where budgets keeps everyone accountable. I want to teach them how to spend wisely, how to reduce waste, and focus on efficiency. Remember, your job as an owner is to give your team the tools, training, and resources to be successful. And one of the things we never do, never give a target or a goal without the tool and training to accomplish that. It's like I could easily go, like Steffi could go to Frank or Jen and say, hey, I want the food cost at 24%. All right, well, how do I do that? If they don't know, if they've never really been through that, don't know how to do that, you're setting them up for failure by giving them a target without the tools and the training to make that happen. And this is what happens with younger managers. A lot of times they understand how to run a restaurant. They don't know how to improve a restaurant. I need people in my leadership roles that can improve my brand, not just maintain my brand, because maintaining is a slow death sentence. I need to be able to move the needle in the right direction. That means I have to train them on how to improve a P&L, how to improve the numbers, how to use the budget as kind of a guide, and then comparing it with the P&L to see what the variance is and see where we are off every week. I love to look at my P&L and my budget. It's almost the same thing as look at my theoretical and my actual food cost. One is potential. That's my theoretical. Actual food cost is where how we're really doing. What's our scorecard? What's our report card? Same thing. My budget is my potential. My P&L is like what's really happening. What do we really do with those numbers? You got to use them back and they got almost like they're almost like symbiotic in the sense that they are coexist together. Got to have a budget and a P&L. And you have to use them side by side in conjunction with each other. You just can't set a budget like, you know, a lot of restaurants I know do like a quarterly budget and then they set it and forget it and they don't ever talk about it again until the next quarter. That's a mistake. Budget should be talked about in a weekly. P&L should be talked about in a weekly, if not sometimes even daily, especially some key numbers. We'll talk about those in a little bit, right? Another reason that you really want to have this is, remember, you want to have an accurate P&L. That means going back over it with your accountant, your bookkeeper, whoever does your numbers, and really, really just see if that thing is accurate. Because it's kind of I always say your P&L is kind of like a health check, right? And I always kind of know what my health is. Like, I have high blood pressure. My doctor makes me measure my blood pressure every day, and then I have to report what my blood pressure is. And what do you think happens? If my blood pressure is tracking good, they keep me kind of going in the same direction. My blood pressure is running high, then they make adjustments. Same thing you should be doing with your P&L. If your P&L is tracking well, stay the course. Keep doing what you're doing. If you're having some numbers that are out of alignment, that's a call to action to make them go back into spot, right? Spotting trends is another thing. If you notice your beverage sales have been steadily declining, or perhaps your labor costs have risen, you know, kind of taken a little hit and going up a little bit, your P&L is going to show the trends, allowing you to investigate and address the root causes. Your job as the owner is to ask questions. Why is it doing this? Why is it going in that direction? And what can we do to correct the situation? Ask questions, ask for action. That's your job as the owner. Ask questions and then ask for action plans. Everything should have an action plan. If your number you have is not running the way you want it, you should have an action plan in place on how to fix it. Not just, oh, shit, our food cost is, you know, 38% this month. Oh, well, damn. Well, we'll make it up next month. No, that's not an action plan. That's a call. That's a hope. That's a Hail Mary. You don't want to do that. And then, of course, tracking variance is probably the biggest thing between that P&L and that budget. Use it as a diagnostic tool. Variances tell you where you've gone off track, whether it's your food cost, spiraling out of control, an unexpected dip in sales. Variance helps you pinpoint the problems. Right? Identifying the issues earlier, that is what we call proactive management. Because when you're proactive, you can make changes before they escalate. There's a famous quote out there, it's a Zen proverb. To take no action is an action. It's just stupid action, okay? To take no action is an action. It's just stupid action. When you could be proactive and get ahead of it, do not wait to be behind the eight ball and have to make up ground. It's so much easier to run your restaurant being proactive than reactive. Trust me. And of course, we talked about this a few times. Make sure you're creating that action plan. You got to create that action plan and you got to hold the team accountable for it. Once you identify the problems through your budget and P&L analysis and that variance, an action plan gives you direction. It tells you where we need to focus on. And then I can assign my resources, my team, to divide and conquer. All right. I love action plans because they do allow for what we call as accountability and focus, because I want to be able to know that the team, who's going to handle what, who's responsible, who's in charge. And I also want to have a timeline to make sure it's implemented. Another thing an action plan does is also start setting that groundwork. Remember, we go from toxic to training to learning to leadership. This is that cusp between learning and leadership. We have this continuous improvement and accountability. Restaurant industry is, fierce. And you can rest on your laurels and you can fail. Or You can have action plans that continuously drive improvement because you always want to strive to be better. What's our number one rule? 1% improvement. We want to be 1% better today than we were yesterday. You want to own that mindset. You want to instill that into your team and into everyone that you work with, that we want to be 1% better today than we were yesterday. A little bit cleaner, a little bit sharper, a little bit faster, a little bit nicer, a little bit better, right? A little bit more than we were yesterday. Remember, running a restaurant is not just about having a passion for food, even though a lot of people say, I'm super passionate about it. I know a lot of passionate chefs that run restaurants that don't make money, all right? It's not about just having a passion for food. It's about creating an unforgettable experience, but it's also about understanding your numbers, being diligent with your finances, and taking swift action when things don't go as planned. Remember, for every problem, there is a solution. Sometimes you just can't see the problem. You see the solution because you're stuck in the problem so deeply that you don't know any other way. That's why you want to use your tools. You can reach out to me, reach out to members of the group in your group chats, right? There is always a solution. Trust me, I've seen 1,000 different ways to fix food cost. We have in that mind map, we have that challenge tree that we talk about a lot. Every problem you have, there is a solution. Sometimes you just need to have a different perception and perspective to see the solution that's going to help you. And that's what my job is, to help you give you lots of different tools to be able to find a solution that works for you and your brand, right? Having a weekly budget, accurate P&L, tracking variances, having a robust action plan, they are the map, compass, and binoculars and the gears for an adventurous journey of restaurant ownership. Remember, success is not about just making great food. It is about making wise business decisions every single day. And the very last of the six critical systems that you must have to maximize your restaurant's profits and maximize its potential is you must be looking at the six critical KPIs. All right, let's get this from the start. If you're not managing key performance indicators in your restaurant, you are flying blind. Or in fact, I would say you're flying stupid, okay? You wouldn't drive a car without a dashboard, so why would you run your restaurant without one? Here are the six critical KPIs that I recommend that you look at, not only on just a weekly basis, some of these you wanna work on a daily basis. Six critical KPIs, and write these down. Prime cost, rev pash, guest check average, discounts and comps, marketing impressions, which is a new one we've been looking at lately, and profit margins. Right. Sales is a vanity metrics. Remember, it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep. I've had a lot of restaurants come to me, $3 million, $4 million, $5 million in sales, making either breaking even, losing money, or making only 1% or 2% profit. That's a real skill to make that kind of money in sales and not make money. That's a special kind of skill. It's a skill you don't want. So let's fix those skills by looking at the six critical KPIs that you should be looking at. All right. And again, weekly basis minimum, daily basis for a lot of these. A lot of these, I look at these things on a daily basis. All right. The six critical KPIs. Prime cost. Everyone knows what prime cost is. I'm always shocked when I do interviews with managers, like potential general managers. And I'll say, describe what's a good prime cost number? And they don't even know what prime cost is. I'm really shocked when a person who wants to be the GM of a restaurant wants $80,000 to $100,000 in salary or more and doesn't even know what prime cost is, right? Prime cost, labor cost, and food cost. Keeping eye on this daily ensures you're not bleeding money, right? It's easy to let things slide for a day or two before you know. And then you could be way over budget. You could be out of alignment. This is one of those, prime cost is one of those things I like to monitor on a daily basis because I need to know where I am all the time. It's like being in a boat in the middle of the ocean and not looking at the compass. It would be stupid. Think about that as prime cost. Rev pash. No, I love rev pash. Rev pash to me is gold, because it tells me how effectively I'm using my space and my time. There's going to be lows in your service where you potentially be promoting specials. Is this the time I really start making that move to sell, upsell? Is this the time I start maximizing my seating? This is the time to train my team how to seat more efficiently? Ref pass really makes me understand, am I maximizing my revenue based on my seats and my time available? Remember, you want to maximize every seat in your restaurant. If you've never, ever done an exercise where you understand what is the cost of a seat in your restaurant, it is a great exercise to do, because that way, when you walk out in your dining room and you see empty seats, you're going to start hearing this ching ching in your head. That's the ask the money every time you see an empty seat. And I can tell you, I just saw this yesterday. Stacy and I went to lunch or brunch at a local breakfast place. And the place, number one, the dining room was not set up efficiently. And sometimes you got to change your seating depending on what the service is. Like for brunch, you could be like, maybe you're doing a lot bigger tables. Maybe you're doing a lot smaller tables. I did notice there were a lot more couples that came and they had a lot of big tables. And instead of like breaking the big tables up and sitting, you know, and breaking them into smaller groups, which I like smaller tables so I can put them together or pull them apart. They had these big, huge tables and they had like a four top and they had two people at a four top, or they had a six top and they had two people at a six top. Total waste of seats. You want to be able to make your seating flexible depending on the time, depending on the service, depending on what your clientele is. All right. Ref pass is huge. Guest check average, probably the number one thing I track on a daily basis, is the guest check average. It really, really tells me if my service team is being effective in upselling or if they're missing opportunities. And if you've never heard of it, there's three selling techniques. Let me see and tell me how many of these you've heard of. There's upselling. You've heard of that one probably before. There's downselling and there's cross-selling. How many have heard of all three? Right? There's three different selling techniques you should be teaching your team: upselling, downselling, and cross-selling. Most people teach upselling. They don't teach downselling and cross-selling. If you show up for the 5-day profit challenge, I will teach you all three techniques. There are three different techniques: upselling, downselling, and cross-selling. You should be teaching your team all three selling techniques, right? But guest check average is a huge thing you want to track all the time. All right, of course, discounts and comps. This one really gets out of hand really fast. If I'm not tracking my discounts and comps, I'm basically just, you know, comping off stuff or giving away stuff. And again, this goes back to that vanity metrics. Like, oh, I'm doing so much sales, but your discounts and comps was 15%. You practically gave away all your profit. I think there's five different discounts and comps we track, right? And you want to make sure you have them in the right categories too. Want to keep an eye on your discounts and comps. You can easily bleed out not by watching your discounts and comps. Another KPI we're watching lately, and this is a huge one. We started doing what's known as marketing math, marketing impressions. In the digital age, you really, really know if your marketing efforts are hitting the mark. We've all done this. We post something, we get a few likes, we get a couple, you know, even if you get a couple thousand likes, but are those likes really turning into traffic? The only way that really turns into traffic is its impressions. You need a lot of impressions to convert to people that actually come to your restaurant. It's a smaller percent than you think. It's like 1%. 1% of your impressions actually convert to people in your restaurant. Right? It's a really, really, it's staggering the amount of marketing you must do to drive traffic. A lot of people think that I'm putting up a post every day, or I'm putting up two posts every day, or I'm even putting up three posts a day. That's great. You probably need to do a lot more if you really want to drive a lot more traffic to your restaurant and keep those sales at a steady flow. Remember, if you're on that sales roller coaster, it's because your marketing efforts are not being consistent and steady. And then the last one, of course, is profit margin. At the day, remember, end of the day, you're in the business to make profit. That's how I keep track. I keep track of my scorecard. To me, is my profitability. That's my scorecard. That's how I keep track of the game. By tracking your profit margins daily, you're always going to know if I'm moving in the right direction. Now, your profits are going to be up and down because that's just the way the nature of the beast is. You're going to have good days, bad days, high profit days, some low profit days, but you want to make sure consistently your profit should be climbing up, not up and down like a roller coaster. It's where a lot of restaurants, remember we talk about good, great, in that good and great category. Remember, there's bad, good restaurants, great restaurants, outstanding restaurants. The good restaurants, average restaurants, are on that profitable roller coaster. They'll have a great month, 7 to 8% profit, then they're down to like 1%. Then they're up 10%. Think about franchising, and then they're down to 1% and they want to sell it all. That's the roller coaster you want to get off of, right? And tracking those profit margins, I just want to, now I'm going to have general ebbs and flows. It's going to go maybe up to 10, down to 8, up to 12, down to 10, up to 14, down to 12. It's going to be, it should be constantly steadily growing, not up, radically down, radically up, radically down. That's the roller coaster you want to get off of right away. Remember, your restaurant is a dynamic entity. It's constantly changing, constantly evolving. It means you have to be constantly changing and constantly evolving. True, tracking those 6 critical KPIs daily, you are giving yourself the tools to actually react and respond in real time, making informed decisions. And ultimately, you're going to drive your restaurant to greater heights of success. If you haven't checked out Marketing Math yet, I wrote an article on Medium. I think I put the link in the group chat. If not, just go to Medium. It's a medium.com. And you can look at my name, Donald Burns, and look for this article. Unleashing the Beast, Badass Marketing Math Every Restaurant Needs. I actually take you down the rabbit hole and I show you the Marketing Math 101. And I show you the exact formula you need. It tells you exactly how much impressions you need, how much engagement you need, what your conversions need to be, and what your cash flow power is what we call guest check average, right? And that's the Rockstar Revenue Formula. You can go down and watch that one. Make sure you are using your tools and your toolkit. You have a lot of tools. You have your group chat. You have your members area for all the resources you have, all the basically training courses and stuff like that. You have the replays. You have stuff in the Mastermind Group Toolkit too. If you're an accelerator program, you have great tools in the accelerator program. You also have access to the TRC Vault. TRC Vault's my new online community. It's growing and growing more every week. I'm going to start doing more training in there. I'm going to do some training on Friday. Friday, I'm going to do a challenge tree one. So if you've never seen what the challenge tree is, show up in the vault. It's in the meetings. It says meetups. In the meetups, you'll see this Friday, it goes at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time in the TRC Vault. I'm going to take you down into the mind map I use called the TRC Challenge Tree. And I'll show you for every challenge you have, there is a corresponding solution for it. Remember, it's never a lack of resources. It's a lack of resourcefulness. And then coming up August 28th, through September 1st, starting at 8 a.m. in the morning, I am going to be doing a 5-day profit challenge. You will get access to it. You'll get access to the replays also. So if you can't make it, it's going to be a really, really wild one. So 5 days, we're going to talk about numbers. We're going to talk about menus, talk about labor. I'm going to talk about supply chain management. And we're going to talk about marketing a little bit too. It's going to be a really fun. It's going to go for 2 hours every day. It's going to be a lot, but if you really want to jump in and go a little bit more down the rabbit hole about getting control of some of your stuff and really maximizing those profits, please join me live for the 5-day profit challenge. Remember, live is always the best because you can actually ask me questions in real time. Or if you watch the replay, you get the information, but you miss the opportunity to ask me questions in real time as they happen. Right. Wrapping it up today, going a little bit over. Sorry. You know me, I like to talk. To really thrive in the restaurant industry, you got to go beyond just great food and ambiance. The backbone of any successful restaurant lies in its foundational systems. There are 6 key systems you must have, and you need all 6 of these, right? That core value mission card, establish your identity, establish your standards. Integrated training system upholds those standards and consistency. Precise food costing ensures financial efficiency and profitability. A proactive marketing calendar keeps the brand vibrant and engaged across all the social media. Regular examining your budgets, weekly budgets, and P&L provides clear financial insights, and tracking the 6 critical KPIs sets benchmarks for continuous growth and improvement. Without these integral systems, your restaurant's going to survive. It's never going to really thrive, right? If you really want to truly flourish, look back over these six systems and figure out where is my weakness? Which system do I really need to focus on to get up to speed? I will tell you now, you probably have all six, but you're probably not maximizing the kind of the effectiveness of all six. So make sure you're going back over and looking at these things, embracing, implementing these different things. It's the difference between mediocre and excellence. Okay. It's the difference between just an eatery and a successful, profitable establishment. Remember, it's not about manage your restaurant. It's about leading your restaurant to its full potential. That's the whole trick with this stuff. Okay. Homework. I bet you can guess what homework is. Go over the six critical systems, see where you need to improve, right? And then write an action plan. Email me your action plan, donald@therestaurantcoach.com. Don't forget, on Thursdays, we have our Q&A call. Q&A call is a great way for you to ask questions, get answers to things that are bothering you, or if you're just stuck, or if you want to review some stuff that we talked about.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Coach Podcast with Donald Burns. Tune in next time as we serve up more ways to maximize your potential. Visit our website at www.therestaurantcoach.com or download episodes at iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify.